Continuing in the book of Acts. Okay, the book of Acts is the history of the early church. It is the story of what Oh, amen, amen. Whoa, did y'all get together before and say, man, we got to nail this? You nailed it. Man, that's solid. Yeah, it's what Jesus continued to do through the Holy Spirit after His ascension into heaven. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the growth of the early church. Remember, Jesus said, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the... Okay, the uttermost, yeah. Going to the uttermost to get the guttermost. That's how we got in. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And we see the Lord going out to the uttermost regions of the world. We've seen Peter taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Over in Caesarea, we saw Barnabas and Saul way up in Antioch of Syria taking the gospel there. Today we're going to see the Word of God go out even further. Last week we saw that Saul and Barnabas went down to Jerusalem, remember? They went to take an offering. And while they were there, all kinds of funky stuff was going on. Herod was going crazy. He killed James. He wanted to kill Peter, locked Peter up, but an angel busted him out of the hoosegow. Y'all remember? Herod came before the people at Caesarea in his fine silver threads, and they were saying, whoa, not a man of God. And he was eating it up. And then worms ate him up. What's eating you, Herod? You remember. After that, Saul and Barnabas, they left. They went back up to Antioch and they took pictures. No, not pictures. They took John Mark with them. Remember? I didn't make this stuff up, okay? Y'all are looking at me weird here. Here, look, chapter 12. Verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay, now the church that was at Antioch, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. In the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. There were then, there are today. How do we know? Because the Bible tells me so. It's so easy. It's easy. The Bible tells us when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts to men. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He gave gifts to edify his body, to edify, to build up his body, to strengthen his body, to strengthen you and me. And how does he do that? By giving gifts to people so that they can bless the church, so that they can build up the church to the fullness of him, so that, that we'll be complete. And he's given these gifts. He's given gifts. And here in the church, in the early church, we see these guys hanging out, prophets and teachers hanging out. And what are they doing? They're fasting and praying. It says that they ministered to the Lord. Does that sound weird to you? They ministered to the Lord. When I think of ministry, I think of helping somebody. What help does the Lord need? Ministering. This word here is this Greek word that I can't pronounce. Okay? But there's a couple of words for ministry. One is doulos, which is an under rower, a servant. Oh, we get that. This one means to serve at your expense, to sacrifice, to give of yourself. They were ministering to the Lord. How did they do that? They were presenting themselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. This is what they were doing. Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. Your Lord, your master, I'm servant. What do you want me to do? And they were so into this place of servitude that they were the servant and the Lord was the master, that they came to him in what? Two things. Prayer and fasting. Supplication is definitely part of it here. Prayer and supplication, those two go together. They came in prayer and fasting. Look, Lord, we just want to deny ourselves. We want to deny our flesh and serve you. That's what fasting is all about. Denying the flesh. Feeding the spirit rather than the flesh. Taking some time and saying, Lord, I really want to just seek you. I want to feed on you and your faithfulness, on your righteousness. I want to seek the things of God rather than the things of the flesh. And so right here, right now, I'm going to fast. I'm going to set the fleshly desires apart to seek your will. And look what it says in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. The Holy Spirit spoke. How did the Holy Spirit speak? Did they dim the lights? And the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. I don't think so. Could have happened that way, right? What if the Holy Spirit doesn't have a deep voice? Ah! Oh, you're freaking me out. This is what I think. I'm convinced. You study the Word. You convince me. Personal opinion here, okay? We couch this with personal opinion. I think that one of the prophets prophesied. given gifts of prophecy that still exists today. God hasn't stopped being God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. I believe that one of the prophets spoke. And I believe that this gift of prophecy still operates today. I think that many times prophets will speak. People will speak, given a gift of prophecy for the moment that it's needed. And prophets, those under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they speak the heart of God. And they speak the heart of God through edification, through exhortation, and through comfort. And that's how they do it. And it happens in a most fairly natural way. And it happens all the time. I can only tell you what I've seen, what I've heard. I was mowing my lawn. Man, those were the days. The riding lawnmower. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you put on worship music. You just rock out, you know, with the Lord and pray. And I was riding the riding temple. It was such a holy place. Some of my best time with the Lord was mowing the lawn. I had an acre to mow. Man, you know how, well, you have the goat. Much better. I was mowing the lawn. The Lord said, He spoke to me, and He said, I have called you to be a pastor. Oh, wow, yeah. I thought, man, this thing needs a tune-up. Doesn't sound quite right. And I remember there was a cedar tree, and it was all tweaked out. And I went and I parked the lawnmower under the cedar tree. Lord, man, is this you, God? Or is this just my weirdness? You know, because sometimes our weirdness, you know, we get goofy. And it's our own thoughts. You know, we need to separate that, our own thoughts from what God is speaking. And I mean, this is serious stuff. To be a pastor, to handle the Word of God, this is serious stuff. You don't want to mess around with your own weirdness doing that. And so I prayed, and Lord, I need confirmation here. And the next day I went to church, and there was my friend Doug. And after church, Doug came up to me and said, Steve, I need to talk to you. I thought Doug wanted to confess sin, you know. I'm all ears. And he said, you know, I just feel weird about this. I'm uncomfortable with this. It's okay, Doug, you can tell me. You know, whatever you've done, I've done worse. I'm with you. I love you. Steve, this isn't about me. Oh, it's going to be about me. And Doug, I said, Doug, you just tell me. And I'll just judge. He says, I have something that I want to tell you from the Lord, I think. But I'm uncomfortable saying this and doing this. You just tell me, I'll judge. And he said, the Lord told me to tell you not to be afraid of what he's told you to do, because he's already there to catch you. Because I'm scared. Scary thing. So Doug came to me with a word of prophecy. Man, the lights didn't dim. There wasn't a voice from the clouds. But man, it was the gift of prophecy. Now, how do I know? Because prophecy is to exhort. It encouraged me to not be afraid, right? It comforted me. It got me going in the direction that the Lord wanted to get me moved. Just like these guys. This is what I think the Holy Spirit had already spoken to them. What does it say here? Let's take a look at it again. Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. God, I believe, had already put on their hearts what he was calling them to do. And as they got together, as they ministered before the Lord brought confirmation through the Holy Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit. No weirdness. No snakes, okay? Just the Lord operating in just a very natural way. And it says here that having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. What were they doing? They were laying hands on them. See, in the Old Testament, when a sacrifice was brought to the Lord, you would take and you would lay your hands on that sacrifice, and then it would be killed in your place. You're saying that vicariously, I lay my hands to this. This animal, this sacrifice is going in my place. Oh, that's what we do in the church. We lay hands on people and we... This is what we do. This is funny. We ordain them by the laying on of hands. Listen. Ordination is by God. It's not by men. If ordination is not by God, it's empty-headed men laying empty heads on other men with empty heads. It's got to come from God. It cannot be a work of man. When we lay our hands on someone, this is what we say. Man, we see that you have called these people for this work, Lord. And we are just agreeing that we want to be a part of it with them. We want them to vicariously go out and minister, and we're going to support them. That's all it is. It isn't an impartation. That we have something that we can give. I haven't got anything that I can give. The only thing I can do is point you to Jesus, the one who's got something that can give you something. You see anything here? Oh. Man, I'm getting old. They laid hands on them and they sent them on the way. So, we're here. Verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. They were sent out by who? By the Holy Spirit. These guys didn't send them out. Amy and I, we got sent out. From Calvary Chapel, San Jacinto, they sent us out. This is what they did. Steve and Amy are leaving today to go to Mississippi. Oh, tomorrow morning? Yeah. Oh, tomorrow morning. Hey, would you come up? Because we want to send you out. We came up. The elders came around us. They laid hands on us. And they said, Lord, you've got them now. And they sent us out. Bless them real good. I mean, that was it. Lord, you've got them. Bless them real good. We love them. We're for them. We're for you, Lord. Hey, man. No coin. No parting gifts? Oh, no. You're in the Lord's hands. He can take care of you a lot better than we can. Amen. Yeah, we're storing up your treasures in heaven for you. So they went down to Seleucia. Hey, you got those Bible maps in the back? The door's open. Come on in, bro. Bienvenidos, mi amigo. You got those Bible maps in the back? I've got it here, but we forgot to do this. You know, Bible maps in the back of your Bible. Turn to the one that says, the missionary voyages of Paul. Okay? Because you want to see where they started. They started in Antioch of Syria. And then from Antioch, do you see it? Have you found it yet? You got one? Look on your neighbors. They started over here in Syria, see? Antioch of Syria. And then they went down here to Seleucia. See? And then they went, y'all tracking with me? Then they went all over to an island in the Mediterranean called Cyprus. Now, y'all there? Okay. We'll go back and forth here between these maps. And verse 5, and when they arrived in Salamis, it looks like salamis. Do you see it in verse 5? And when they arrived in Salamis, do you see that? Okay. It's no baloney. It's salami. They saw a mess. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. So if you look at their map, at that map there, they start on the eastern side of Cyprus at Salamis. They're going to go all the way across this whole island, about 170, 180 miles wide that they're going to traverse. And they're going to be out preaching the word of God in the synagogues. Now, in Cyprus, they had this huge Jewish population. It was huge. And so they went to Salamis, the largest city. They went to Cyprus, where Barnabas was from, and they started going to synagogues, multiple. This is what they'd do. They'd go to the Jews, and they would start preaching the gospel to the Jews. The word of God went to them first. This is the pattern that Paul followed throughout his voyages. He would go and he would look for people who were worshiping God, and he would share the gospel with them. And they had John Mark here as their assistant with them. Now, we don't know how long they were here in Salamis. We don't know how long they were in Cyprus. But it says here in verse 6, now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, that's on the western side of the island, 170, 180 miles now, they found a sorcerer, a false prophet. Hey, there's gifts of prophecy that are real today, and there's false prophets today. How do we know if someone's a real prophet or a false prophet? It's very easy. What they say, is it contained within the Word of God? Does it go outside of the Word of God? Hey, well, Jesus said to me, can I see that in the Word? If you can't find it in the Word, don't buy. Say buy. Okay? Very good chance. False prophet. You know them by their fruit. So there was a sorcerer, a false prophet. They were then, they're today. This guy was a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. Now, Bar means son of Yeshua. His father might have been named Yeshua, Joshua. Son of Joshua, son of Yeshua, it was a common name. So, it might have been that. It might have been something a little more, though. See, because the Jews, even this far out in Cyprus, Sicily, yeah, out there too. It's going to get there. Out in Cyprus, they had heard of a miracle worker by the name of Yeshua. There's this miracle worker. His name was Yeshua, and he healed the blind and gave hearing to the deaf. A lame man walked, and he even raised up the dead. It's quite possible that this false prophet was using the name Yeshua. I'm the son of the miracle worker, Yeshua. I have the same powers to perform miracles. Now, he was with the proconsul. The proconsul's governor, okay? So I'll use that term intermixed. Governor, he was appointed governor by Rome. His name was Sergius Paulus. And it says he was an intelligent man. And this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. This man was an intelligent man. He wanted to hear the word of God. He had heard about these three guys, Saul, Barnabas, and John Mark, going through the country, going through the island, telling people about God and sharing the word of God. And this man, he wanted to hear. Is this cool or what? Man, I'd love for Haley Barber to call me and say, Steve, hey, Steve, would you come up to Jackson and share the word of God with me? Wow. What was that? It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not deep. It's wow. Would that be wild? I mean, that is how much impact they had upon this island that the governor said, hey, I want you to get these guys. They're in Paphos. I've heard about them. I want you to get them. Bring them up to the governor's mansion. I want to hear the word of God from them. He was intelligent, but he wasn't too bright, I guess. I don't know. Because he's hanging out with this false prophet, Bar Jesus. Now, in verse 9, they call him Elymas. That means the wizard, actually. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them. He wants to hear the word of God, but this false prophet, a guy named Bar Jesus, is trying to bar Jesus from them. Good name, Bar Jesus. He withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. This guy doesn't want them to hear the word of God. And here we are. We got the three types of people that are always present when the gospel goes out. Isn't this weird? The critical, Bar Jesus, the curious, Sergius Paulus, and the committed, Paul, Barnabas, John Mark. Anytime the gospel goes out, this is what you're going to find. Anytime. You're going to find opposition. And so here's the opposition. He's on the offense. Bad move, dude. Then Saul, who is also called Paul. Hey, this is the first time that Paul's called Paul. Okay? Before he was Saul of Tarsus. Saul means demanded, desired, asked for. Paul means he said, man, I'm not desired. He is. I'm little in his sight. Don't call me Saul. Call me Paul. He changed his name to Paul. First time that he's called Paul here. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we do become humble. The Holy Spirit testifies of Him, His power, His greatness, His goodness. We understand that if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not our doing, it's God's doing. And that brings humility, a smallness into our life. Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? You're twisting the things of God, dude. And you are a son of the devil." And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Whoa! Is this seeker sensitive or what? Full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. Man, you're going to be blinded. Isn't this interesting? Because remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus on his high horse, blinded by the light? No Manfred Mann, okay? I know. You're blinded by the light. Don't know. Okay? He was blinded. He was perverting the way of truth, was he not? Denying that Jesus was the Christ? Oh, man. But here's the difference. The things that Saul did, he said he is the chiefest of sinners because he persecuted the church. But he said, "I did it out of ignorance." This guy knows what he's doing, and he's blinded. He's now physically what he was and is spiritually. There's a reality. Hey, this guy's going around saying he's got the answers, that he's got the way, that he's got the truth. This guy's a blind guy, man. Not him. He doesn't know. He's blinded. And so the guy goes wandering around looking for someone to help him. Stumbling around in the darkness when the answer was right there before him. All he had to do is just sit down and listen to the Word of God. I mean, Paul's going to preach the Word of God here to Sergius Paulus. Now look, then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. This is an amazing thing here. The proconsul believed when he saw what had happened. Man, would that just blow you away? You're there, a guy says, "Man, you are going to be blinded because you are perverting God's word. You're trying to block His truth. You're trying to keep someone else from hearing the gospel of grace. You're trying to keep someone else from hearing the good news." But look at what it says. The thing that astonished him wasn't that the guy was blinded. Look at that. Being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. That's what really blew him away. Hey, miracles are cool, but Jesus showed a lot of miracles and people didn't get saved. You can see a miracle and go, wow, and walk away and be as lost as when you first saw it. But what astonished them? The teaching of the Lord. What's that? That Jesus existed as God. And he humbled himself and became a man. That God became flesh. And he lived a perfect life. He lived a life that we could not live. A perfect life without sin. And he died a death that we could not die. He took our sins upon himself. Our sins had separated us from God. So we were far away from God. We were distant from God because of our sins. And he took our sins upon himself. And he went to the cross. And he paid the price for our disobedience. The teaching of the Word of God. And because he went and he died for us, we can be forgiven of our sins. And we know it's true because God showed it was true by raising him up out of the grave on the third day. And if we will simply believe in him, confess him as our Lord and Savior, then our sins will be taken away. Our sins will be remembered no more. We will be forgiven of our sins against God. And he will give us eternal life in the place where we deserve death. Whoa. That is astonishing. That is amazing. That is almost unbelievable. But God confirmed his word over and over and over again. He began in Genesis and through the prophets foretold that he would do this very thing. And he did it. And we have the proof of it. And so, it is unbelievable. Isn't it unbelievable? It is unbelievable that I tell you, this is true, that the natural man cannot conceive of such a thing. To the natural man, this is unbelievable. But the Lord God bears witness of the veracity, the truth of this through the power of the Holy Spirit moving and speaking today. Bearing witness in our heart through his word. The Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And as we hear, it's like, oh, this is unbelievable. And the Holy Spirit says, believe it. It's true. And it's for you. Amen. Is that awesome? He heard the word of God. He saw man. And he believed the unbelievable. I pray to God that y'all have. If you haven't, man, you got to believe this. Because there's no other way to the Father except through the Son. All you got to do is just believe that Jesus died for you and you have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, God. Lord, we want to be like those examples that you've given to us. That when we come and when we gather, that we are ministering to you, Lord. That we have set apart the time to come to before you and to present ourselves as living sacrifices to you. saying, Lord, I'm yours. You died for me. You gave yourself for me to minister to me. Lord, you gave yourself to die on a cross for my sins so that I can have eternal life. And I'm so thankful for that. And now, Lord, I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. The life I now live, I live to you, to the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. So here I am, Lord, to minister before you, to find that direction in what you would have me do, Lord. Lord, we pray that today, as we're here worshiping you, thanking you for that free gift of grace, of eternal life, of forgiveness of sins, Lord, we could never pay you back. And our goal is not to pay you back. We can't. We understand that. But our desire, Lord, is to be servants of the Most High God, to be your servant, Lord. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would impart gifts upon this, your church, upon this, your body. When you ascended on high, you gave gifts to men. Lord, you called some to be apostles, and prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the body. Lord God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that you would just baptize us, that you would just anoint us afresh in your calling, that you would impart your gifts upon this body, Lord, that you would equip the saints for the work of the ministry, Lord God, that you would build up your church. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless y'all.